Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 32 of the Youth Hacks podcast. I'm Josh from youthhacks.com, and as always, I'm here with a few of my very good friends from joeldiaz.com. Joel Diaz.
It is so good to be back.
It is very, very good to be back.
I've been giddy all day.
And from pattygibbons.com, Patty Gibbons. Patty, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, kids.
Yay.
So it's been a couple of weeks.
A few minutes.
Yeah, been a little bit through the show.
Just a couple of weeks.
No, we had a busy season, so we took 2 weeks off from the show, but now we're back. And the time that has elapsed, it's kind of like, you ever have the watch a show where, you know, there's from one season to the next, you know, 4 years elapses, and you know, I think what show did that? Anyway, so in the 2 weeks that have been gone, a lot's happened, specifically for Sarah. Who now does not live in Atlanta and is no longer my coworker and is no longer Sarah Libros. She's now Sarah Flo, and she's married and she lives in Colorado. And believe it or not, she's not even doing youth ministry. But we're going to let her be on the show anyway. So hopefully we'll get Sarah back on next week. And yes, we're going to try to get back in the swing of things. And Joel and I are kind of determined to make a show happen every week, even if it's terrible and we don't prepare for it.
Yes.
So.
Thanks for the warning.
So this week we were prepared a little bit. So we actually picked an interesting week to come back because there was Twitter blew up over, was it Sunday night that this kind of all, I think it was Sunday night this stuff all dropped.
I mean, I don't know what the bell is going on, but it's crazy.
How long did it take you to write that? That's good.
Grown.
That's very good. So, yeah, Rob Bell released a promotional video for his upcoming book, Love Wins, and it made some people angry. So I think kind of what set off the big Twitter firestorm was John Piper posted a tweet that said, "Farewell, Rob Bell," which led a lot of people to believe that he was dead. But in fact, I don't think he was dead. I think he was only dead to John Piper. He linked to a piece on the Gospel Coalition, which is a website I was not aware of, and a piece by this guy, Justin Taylor, called Rob Bell, Universalist, basically, Justin Taylor takes Rob Bell to task for this promotional video. And let's see, man, there was a lot he says there, but essentially he's saying, Rob Bell is a universalist, and initially he had a reference to 1 Corinthians, which said, well, that can't be right, because this is the... Okay, it's something about how, you know, having the appearance of angels but being Satan or something like that. But I bookmarked the wrong verse, and let me tell you what my verse says, the verse that I marked here. Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him? But that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory, for long hair is given to her as a covering. I don't believe that's the verse that he posted.
Are you sure?
You sure it didn't say something about glasses?
Something like that. I don't remember. Oh, here we go. It's 2 Corinthians, and it says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." So that's a little harsh, but to Justin's... credit, he did remove that reference, and yeah, just a couple of quotes that he said I think are interesting before we jump in and chat about it a little bit. He said, "I haven't read the whole book yet," which I think is a very important opening to the sentence, "and was hesitant to say something based on the publisher's description, but this video from Bell himself shows that he is moving farther and farther away from anything resembling biblical Christianity." So Joel, what did you think about all this? What did you think about, Rob Bell's video and then kind of the response to it?
I think it was a typical Rob Bell video. He asks a whole bunch of questions and doesn't really answer them. I wouldn't call myself a Rob Bell fan, but I'm not a hater either. I think the guy's an incredibly gifted communicator. Had the pleasure of hearing him at a Catalyst event many, many years ago, and then at the National Youth Workers Convention. I actually took his critical concerns course, which was pretty interesting, to hang out with him for a day and a half, hearing how he puts together sermons. But I think it's a promotion, and man, I think, is it HarperCollins, his publisher?
Yeah.
Kudos to them.
Yeah, good work.
Whoever put the promo together.
Although I will say, it looked like it was him and his production team. Yeah. I mean, everything about it said, it looked and felt just like a Numa video.
I know people were really hammering, though, at the description that the publisher released about the book.
Sure, yeah.
That's where they got a lot of people just fired up. Since we're sharing quotes, one of my favorites was from Matthew Turner, who tweets as Jesus Needs New PR.
Oh, yeah.
In response to John Piper's tweet about Farewell Rob Bell, which is kind of cool because it rhymes. But he said, for a moment, I was afraid Rob Bell had died, but then I realized that it was just a few Calvinists hating him into a trending topic. So I thought that was kind of funny. And it's also sad because one of the things I did was just looking around. Apparently there's another guy on Twitter.
The British web designer.
Yeah, whose name is Rob Bell. And watching his reaction to all the hate that he was getting was telling of us American Christians. So
your take then is that it was just a provocative video.
It's Rob Bell being Rob Bell.
Many people have countered that Rob Bell is smart enough to know that when you ask a question, you're not just asking a question, you're saying something. So that's been the response. Specifically, Josh Harris said that. Patty, what's your take on this video and kind of the firestorm that erupted on Twitter?
Well, I agree with Joel that it's Rob Bell being Rob Bell. He's edgy by design, and he intends to get people riled up and interested in a topic. That's his style. It has always been his style. Interestingly, I spent about 45 minutes with a parent of students who used to be in my youth ministry at my church, defending or explaining every Rob Bell book or video ever used tonight. So I feel like that was good preparation for our conversation. He does specialize in sort of that Socratic method of answering questions and leaving them hanging. My concern, and I haven't read the book, and I'm not going to render judgment on the whole thing until I read the book. My concern with the video script is in it, you hear coming out of his own mouth that a loving God or the God that he knows, I forget the exact line, wouldn't let condemn everybody to hell. And so that brings up the whole argument of God being just as well as merciful. He says something that if left alone does contradict biblical Christianity. It does, all by itself. The problem I have is that we're condemning him based on this thing that is out of context. It's a teaser. It's meant to be provocative. It's meant to sell books. It's meant to get publicity. Guess what? It accomplished its purpose.
Yeah.
That's the long and short of it is we can't judge Rob Bell based on that trailer. But if that trailer is the end product of the book Love Wins, he's gone farther than he's ever gone before.
I would say that there's clearly two camps emerging in some of this discussion. And, you know, there's probably a lot of different ways that you could divide them. But I think one way that might be helpful would be to, there's a group of people who think that the most important thing that Christians and Christian leaders can do is transmit correct information and correct interpretation to people. Give them the correct way to view and interpret scripture. And there's another group of people who think that it's important to invite people to engage in a conversation about a topic. And the problem with the second one in the eyes of the first group is that if you invite people into a conversation or you say things that are provocative and engaging, there's a chance people might walk away with what they think is an incorrect idea. And I think that's probably those two groups will not see eye to eye on what the central goal is, you know? Specifically, it's a lot of reformed folks who are upset about Rob Bell, and that's because these guys think it's really important to communicate correct theology, you know, or what's correct in their eyes. And I just don't think that that's one of Rob Bell's goals.
I agree. I don't think that's one of his goals either. I think he's trying to engage a segment of the population, young adults specifically, who have essentially walked away from the gospel because what they hear is what this other group that's busy condemning Rob Bell based on this promo video is doing. And shortly after this, when I came back this weekend and looked at what had blown up on Twitter, I posted the next morning a reference to Galatians 5:15, which essentially says, stop biting each other, stop devouring one another. Because what I was seeing was not really a disagreement only with Rob Bell, but Christians hacking at each other, which doesn't do a thing for anybody, especially not Jesus.
That's certainly true. And I think that's something that a lot of people are talking about. It, you know, you hate to see, I'm not aware of a time where a Christian figurehead's name has been a trending topic on Twitter. And it's sad that it happens over a pretty petty disagreement. Although some people would say it's not a petty disagreement. Some people would say that it's a really huge deal. One thing that surprised me watching just my Facebook feed and people who I know responding to this is the position I found myself in as a defender of Rob Bell. I mean, I enjoy his books. I like his books okay. I love his teaching. I guess I would say that I'm a fan. But I don't really feel any particular need to defend him or his ideas because, you know, they're not my writings, not my videos. But I found myself in a position of, I don't know, there was a really poor understanding of who he is and what he says. So, you know, there are people saying, well, you know, he doesn't believe in the virgin birth. Well, you know, that stems from that the passage in, I can't recall, Velvet Elvis, his first book, Velvet Elvis. He mm-hmm. talks about, he uses the virgin birth as an example in a larger analogy. And in fact, in the book, he affirms the virgin birth. But, you know, an idea gets out there and it gets spread around and all of a sudden people think Rob Bell doesn't believe in the virgin birth, you know? And then I also someone who is a friend of mine who I respect a lot even talked about how, well, this is just another Rob Bell publicity stunt. And I thought, well, Jesus, first of all, is Rob Bell someone who pulls publicity stunts? I'm not aware of any publicity stunts. And beyond that, is a provocative video a publicity stunt? I mean, to me, the question is, what does publicity stunt mean? But, you know, to me, that suggests it's just for shock value, maybe, or there's not any real substance to it, or, you know, where you're just doing anything you can to get people's attention towards something. And I really don't feel like this is, I don't know, I think that Rob Bell is engaging people in the conversation he wants to engage them in, and it's certainly publicity, but stunt, I think not. So what's really interesting to me is there are a lot of people out there who really have a very, very low opinion of Rob Bell, and that really surprised me. I wasn't really aware of that. I thought that generally he was kind of regarded in the same way that, I don't know, an Andy Stanley or a Rick Warren was, where, you know, people generally think fairly well of him, and he has some fans and some big detractors. But I was very surprised, and that was not the case at all in my circle of friends.
I was actually kind of
go ahead, Joel.
Oh no! Well, I was just say I was really surprised, and some people might say, "You got to be kidding me," but I was so surprised that John Piper, as many followers as he has, jumped on the bandwagon so early with such a snarky, trite tweet.
Yeah,
I don't know, I appreciate John Piper. I've heard him preach a couple of times live at events, and I think he's an incredible communicator, as Rob Bell is. But I was really surprised, and as far as I know, I haven't seen him expand upon why he tweeted farewell Rob Bell.
Yeah,
I haven't seen anything about it. All he did was link that one blog article, and that was it.
On that subject, I would say, I mean, my personal opinion is that. Well, first of all, I'm not surprised John Piper engaged in the discussion because he's always done that. Right. I am surprised that he was so, like you said, snarky, that it was kind of so short and unsubstantial. Right. That seems unusual to me, although, you know, that's the medium that he was on. It was on Twitter. But I personally think that he should be ashamed of himself for that tweet. And maybe not for his position, and maybe not for his critique of Rob Bell's writings, but for that specifically. And, you know, what's interesting to me, Josh Harris, for instance, said I question whether the God you are describing is the same one I am describing. It's just so interesting to me. There's a set of people who are really eager to break fellowship. You know, it's surprising to me the things that people will break fellowship with someone over. And that's the thing that to me is the most upsetting. And I have a lot of friends that I have not just small disagreements or like, hey, you see it one way, I see it the other, but really significant disagreements over matters, you know, over issues. And I just have no desire to say that they're not my brother or sister in Christ or to break fellowship with them. And that's been very interesting to me and kind of saddening to me. Patty, Joel, do you guys have any last thoughts on the whole Rob Bell Twitter controversy?
Well, I just had one observation about the video. This is a new publisher for Rob Bell. HarperCollins is not a quote-unquote Christian niche publisher. They're a general secular publisher. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if at all that affected the crafting of the marketing materials. I mean, I don't think that in a video, Rob would use a script that he didn't condone its contents. So that's not what I'm meaning to say. But I'm concerned that it may be edgier or placed differently or dropped differently than, for example, his materials that came from Zondervan, which is a subsidiary of HarperCollins. Zondervan let Rob Bell's contract go last year, and I don't know anything about why that was. I don't know if it had to do with, you know, theological pressure, market pressure, or what, but or something. You know, they just didn't see eye to eye. So the entrance of a quote unquote secular publisher into the mix, I wonder what that has done to the marketing materials, not to Bell's message or anything like that, but just to the marketing materials.
Do you think perhaps that the goal here is not to sell a lot of books to people in Christian bookstores, but to be maybe like a New York Times bestseller, hit a much broader audience?
Harper sells books. That's what they do. So, you know, I know that if they're pouring money at all into marketing a book, they want to sell lots of them. The ebook price for this, I was looking at it because I was curious to see what else was out there. The ebook is going to be priced at $11.99. That's high for an ebook. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, they're looking to make money on this. And so they want to have as much buzz and as much, you know, talk about the book and as many pre-orders as they can possibly muster.
Well, they got it.
They're going to get it. Yeah. I mean, I have friends here in Albany youth ministry, pastors of churches that we've, you know, since this hit, we've been talking about it. And even today I had a friend of mine in my office who said, you know, I like Rob Bell. I was, you know, I really could have cared less about this book, but now with all of this, you know, firestorm around it, I had two friends that said, I am definitely going to buy a copy and read it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'll probably be, you know, I'm a third in that circle. I mean, I like Rob Bell's books, but I wasn't like clamoring to get a copy. Now I am. I want to see what the fuss is all about.
I wonder what the pre-sale figures are now.
Yeah. Sure. I'll read it. I don't really love Rob Bell as a writer. I think he's a much better speaker than a writer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll certainly read it, and maybe we can chat about it in a future episode. If you want a summary of, you know, kind of the story and then people's response to this, Christianity Today live blog had a really good piece on this, and specifically the author, who is Sarah Pulliam Bailey, contacted Scott McKnight, and Scott McKnight responded to her via email. And just to kind of wrap up this topic, I want to read what he said. I think it's a really nice summary and some good sentiments that I think kind of put my thoughts, put a fine point on some of the things that I think. So he said, this is Scott McKnight speaking. I've not seen anything like it. And yes, the quickness of social media have made this such a big issue. And in a week, it will all be gone, which I think is a really interesting point. You know, it bubbles up very quickly and then goes away very quickly. He says, Justin Taylor once generated almost 100 comments by quoting a blurb of mine that was on the back of IVP's book written by Tom Wright on justification. Justin may be right about what Rob believes, but if he is wrong, then he owes Rob Bell a huge apology. I want to wait to see what Rob Bell says, read it for myself, and see what I think of it. Rob is tapping into what I think is the biggest issue facing evangelicalism today, and this theory shows that it just might be that big of an issue. The publicity approach of Harper One worked perfectly. They got huge publicity for a book they intended to provoke, and they did it well. I think it is wiser to wait to see the real thing than to rely on the publicity's provocations. Justin bit, and so did many of his readers. Frankly, John Piper's flippant dismissal of Rob Bell is unworthy of someone of Piper's stature. The way to disagree with someone of Rob Bell's influence is not a tweet of dismissal, but a private letter or a phone call. Flippancy should have no part in judging a Christian leader's theology, character, or status. So I think well said, as always, from Scott McKnight. So if you guys have, I'm sure that everybody who has any interest in talking about this has already said something on Twitter. But if you guys want to respond to anything we said, or if you think we got something wrong in our discussion, feel free to leave a comment at youthhacks.com.
I just want to say one more thing about this whole situation, because I had a lot of tweets, even local tweets, from people here in Albany that are in ministry. And there was a lot of praying for Rob Bell and the people that follow him, or praying for Rob Bell and the people that look up to him. I always find it kind of comical that Christians like to pray for other Christians when they think that those Christians are wrong.
It's very condescending.
Yeah.
It's very funny. And I called a guy out that lives here in Albany about it. And he said, I responded to his tweet with, maybe you should just wait until the book comes out and you read it before you pass judgment. But I appreciate your prayers. He replied, he's like, I just said I was going to pray for people. And I was like, I get it. But it's just the way
it
comes
across. It's called subtext.
Yeah.
Yeah, Justin.
A lot of praying going on. Rob Bell is just, he is covered in prayer this evening.
Justin Taylor said, let's remember to pray. Rob Bell needs to know and teach the liberating gospel of grace. Guys, if someone could just get Rob Bell to say the sinner's prayer, this would all be okay.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely okay. If he just walked an aisle tonight, that would be okay.
Cool. So on to more youth ministry related stuff. So I think, as probably our listeners know, I am about to wrap up my first year in a new position. I'm kind of hitting all of the different things that the church that I'm at now does. In April, I've kind of hit the cycle and seen everything once. But before this, my position here, I had never done a DNOW before. I knew about them and heard about them and knew a lot of people who were involved, but I had never participated in or led a DNOW weekend. And it was awesome. It was awesome. I love it. It's a great event. I want to do it again next year, and I'd love to do it, wherever I end up in the future. But I thought it was kind of interesting to talk about. There are some rhythms in a youth ministry calendar that seem to be fairly established. Summer camp is, I think everyone does something like it. I think it probably looks a lot different for different groups, but generally you're going to do something in the summer. And then I think a lot of churches do, summer missions trips, or they'll do fall retreats. But the kind of time that seems to be pretty different between churches is spring. And so I wanted to kind of just knock around and hear what you guys have done in the spring, what major events you've done in the spring in the past, and what's worked and what hasn't worked. And Joel, I know you just did a ski trip, which is a staple for a lot of youth ministries. And I wondered, are ski trips something that have happened at your church for a long time, like before you came there?
Yeah. Yeah. It was an established trip. And I'm not going to lie, I love snow skiing. I spent 4 years of my childhood in Salt Lake City, Utah, where I learned. So for me, it was an easy sell to keep on the calendar, but the kids really enjoy it. And what I've noticed is that our ski retreat attracts a lot of kids that rarely step foot inside of the church. And it's also the one trip where our kids invite a lot of friends. So that's really the reason that it's remained.
Do you find it to be cost prohibitive? Is it expensive?
Well, it was going to get cut off this year. Last fall, a church member came to me and told me that his parents owned a mountain home right near Boone, North Carolina, where we go skiing, and they opened their home up for groups to come and use. For instance, last year in 2010, they hosted 60 different retreat groups, from Christian organizations, from Young Life to youth groups to pastors' retreats, all sorts of stuff. And so they – and they, it's all free of charge. And that's the only reason that the ski trip remained, because as we all know, budgets across America are getting sliced up all over the place. And we are definitely not an exception to that. So that was the only reason, but it is very cost prohibitive. It would have been gone this year if it wasn't for that offer for a free housing for the trip. That's what saved it.
Yeah, I know that I've never been a part of a ministry that did ski trips, but other people that I know that have done them, often a 3-day ski trip will be as expensive or more expensive than a 5-day summer camp.
Oh, usually it's more expensive. Yeah.
So that seems like that would be a concern. Yeah. What about do you ever do spring break mission trips?
Yeah, that's another staple at our church. And I really enjoy them. We alternate every other year between in-country and, out-of-country. And when we get down to the pick of the week, I'll kind of explain that that's going to be changing, I think, at our church. But we're going to be partnering with the Salvation Army this spring, during the spring break weeks. Our students are split up between 2 weeks back-to-back, so we're going to spend time working with the Salvation Army, and then we're going to take a quick 2-night retreat over our denomination. Part of the United Methodist Church has a retreat center on St. Simon's Island right on the Georgia coast. And so we'll go over there for a couple of days and have 2 days of fun and a little bit of beach time. But that's what we're going to be doing for spring break this year with our students. So the whole week will, with projects and trip to the coast and everything, will run about $95 for the week.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So it should be a fun week.
You know, we actually, at RT now, they it's been 2 years since they did one. And a lot of the input that I got when I started planning it was that they had this big 3-hour recreation, time on Saturday afternoon of the weekend, and that the kids really, really hated the games. And so the feedback I kind of got was the games weren't good. But my instinct kind of said, it doesn't really matter how good or bad the games are. The buy-in is what changes that. So I'm thinking, geez, I'm not sure if anything is going to really fill that slot and make people and make the students really enjoy that 3-hour block. So what we did is we did something similar to what you were just talking about. We did outreach all over our community. So all of our small groups went out and had, some people worked at thrift stores and, kind of sorted clothes. Some people went to halfway houses for homeless people and did painting. Some people did yard work for people who, for elderly people. So we did service projects all over, and that was really awesome to be able to kind of fold that in. And that was one cool thing about doing an in-town event, is that you're able to kind of make an impact on the community around you. Hey, Patty, what spring events have you done in the past?
Well, in spring here in upstate New York, it's still winter. So we can do ski trips on spring break. And I have actually never done a ski trip in 24 years of youth ministry. Never, not once. So a lot of times we'll put two weekend events back to back, one at each end of spring break or winter break, because we get a break in February and we get a break in April. So we have a little bit of time there. It's not great to try to plan anything where you have to travel far, because it's still winter. And so we tend to do local outreach type stuff, so the sorts of things that you're talking about. And in actual spring, which begins up here in around June. You're having summer.
That's late summer.
You're not lying, Patty, because I was in upstate New York in the beginning of June on, some big lake up there, probably one of the Great Lakes, and it was freezing at night. We froze in the cabins.
So June is when the snow starts to thaw out?
Yeah.
By June, it's warm all day and not below freezing at night ever. So you can start to do things that require outdoors type things by then. I mean, the outdoor sports teams at schools just have really thick, good sweats for for track and whatnot. So what we'll do is is whole church, family-oriented type events. We have one that's called, I actually just got tapped to head this up, so I'm looking for some creative ideas if anybody's got input. We call it Faith in Action Sunday, where we'll begin our worship service. We're a liturgical church, so we'll start with the liturgy of the word and then break and go out and serve, and then come back and finish the worship service with lunch and communion.
That's cool.
And so we're looking for different ways to serve around our community. My church is situated in an inner city neighborhood, so there's always, you know, garbage to clean up and people around and that kind of stuff. So we're looking for creative ways to get the people out of the pews and out into the street, talking to our neighbors. So, that's a priority for us. And then there's also retreats, and we can do those until about the first weekend in May, and then we run into college graduations and high school graduation stuff. So we're not, because they're not done with school up here till the end of June.
Man, it's like you live in a different country.
I do. It's called the Northeast.
Wow. So yeah, it's interesting you bring up weather. I've never been a part of a ministry that did winter retreats, but right before I got here, the church I'm at now did two winter retreats, and they actually there was severe weather and ice on the roads, and they had to postpone one of the weekends, and then they had to stop the bus halfway on the trip because there was too much ice in the roads, and they thought the kids were all going to get stranded. And so it seems to me that if you live anywhere where there may be snow or ice in the roads, traveling for a spring event, especially early spring, is probably not a good idea. But kind of the one theme I'm hearing emerge is like kind of bang for your buck. Like it seems like specifically summer retreats tend to be pretty expensive. And I love finding ways to get that price as low as possible and spend as little money as possible for the spring events and just get a lot of people involved. We were able to do our DNOW for $50, which for us at least is a pretty good price, pretty reasonable. And we had tons of kids come through, and it was really exciting. So it seems like cheap might be the word. So Joel, you guys are doing, are you going to do that serve event regularly now? Is that like an every year sort of thing?
For spring break?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll become, I think that's just going to become the standard now for spring break, is we'll just stay in country. Because I think we're going to move our missions opportunities as far as overseas to the summer.
Cool. And that's what you're talking about later.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, yes. Yeah, so if you guys have interesting spring event ideas, or I'll be selfish and say if you have really good DNOW ideas, I would love to hear them, because I'm going to be planning our next one soon. So you guys can send those our way and drop them in the comments. So, hey, let's get to what is, I think, everybody's favorite part of the show, which is our picks of the week.
Yay.
Which is where we choose a website or a service or a book or just anything that we think is interesting or useful in the context of youth ministry. And Joel, I'm going to start with you. What is your pick this week?
My pick this week is Adventures in Missions. They can be found at Adventures. That's with an S on the end, .org. I don't know. Have we podcasted since July? I mean, I know it's been 2 weeks, but.
No.
We haven't, have we?
Patty just called us out. I was going to try to find a way to lie about it.
Holy cow, it's been a long time. So in July, I had the pleasure of joining a team put together by Adam McLean of Youth Specialties via social networking to go to Haiti. And just an incredible experience. We went as a team with Adventures in Missions. And about the second day there, I knew that I would be going back, and I really, really wanted to come back with students from our church and other church members. And that happened in December. We flew over to Port-au-Prince on December 27th, 2 days after Christmas, and stayed there all the way through the new year, which was just an incredible experience. I can't say enough about AIM and the way that they run their mission trips and their infrastructure, especially in Haiti, and their support of the staff. They just had so much staff there. We felt safe the entire time. And obviously we were there, if you followed the news at all, with all of the stuff going on with the presidential election at that time and still going on. So that's just something we still need to remember. But, you know, we had a lot of scary messages from Haiti of being careful and kidnappings. And all the parents still let their students go, some of them with huge reservation. It was such a blessing. And I can't say enough about that organization. I've really become friends with some of the people there. In fact, our team leader is going to be down here coming to visit our team and our entire youth group in 2 weeks, which is going to be a huge treat.
So jealous.
I know. That was awesome because Patty got to go with us.
It was awesome.
Which was fantastic. She had just dreamt about going to Haiti since the earthquake. She wanted to respond with her presence there. And so it was cool to have her there. And I had another team member from our July trip flew all the way from San Diego to join our team. So that was a really cool little reunion in Haiti and just seeing the same people. And that's now developed into what it's going to look, what it seems like an official church to church relationship in Haiti that AIM is going to help us put together. And that's another program that they have where your church can be partnered with a church in Haiti. And that doesn't mean that you have to fund the church. But the main thing of the church to church partnership is just ministry of presence, going down there, committing to be down there and communicate with the pastor. Obviously, some of the pastors need stuff. For instance, the church that we're looking at partnering with needs a lot of help with just getting his church set up and simple things like very rustic pews and things like that, and just support of the presence of people coming in and spending time with his congregation. And also AIM recently partnered with another church, our friend Mark Ostreicher, church, the Journey Church in San Diego. They opened up a clinic and it's been an overwhelming success. Talked to AIM about that this week. And so we might be partnering with them. The largest employer in our city is a huge regional hospital. And a lot of those doctors and surgeons and pediatricians, all those guys and ladies go to our church. So, and are used to doing medical missions. So that might be another official partnership. We're really joining forces with another church on the other side of the country, all brought together by AIM and those relationships. So if you're looking for mission trips overseas or domestic, I highly encourage you to give them a look. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. They definitely challenged my students and pushed them outside of the box that they're used to, but they came back changed for the better and just incredibly empowered. I think the biggest thing for me is they came back empowered in their prayer life. And that's been the neatest thing to see as a youth pastor, to see a group of students that are willing to pray anywhere at any time for anyone. And that's just really encouraging.
That's awesome. Yeah, we actually, you know, when Sarah moved, we obviously hired a replacement. And the guy that we hired is from Adventures and Missions and has led a bunch of trips to Haiti. And he's leading a group of our students to Haiti this summer. And if I had not just reproduced, then I would be going going right along with them. But that's really cool. I'm jealous. I feel like everybody I know that does youth ministry has gone to Haiti, and I'm missing out.
It's where all the cool kids go.
I know. Well,
the thing is Haiti's going to need you when you're ready to go too.
Yep.
It's not going to change.
It's not about meeting needs, Patty. It's about being cool.
No.
Wait. No. I'm sorry. It was the opposite of what I just said. So, Patty, what is your pick this week?
My pick this week comes from another offshoot of another missions agency, YWAM. When I was at Youth Specialties in November, I got to spend some time with Phil Cunningham, who's a YWAMer who lives in Southern California. He serves with them in California and Baja in Mexico. And Phil has, along with Wade Pallister, have put together an incredible resource called the 30-Day Prayer and Action Guide through an organization that they call Steps of Justice. And the Prayer and Action Guide is available at their website, stepsofjustice.org. And they've put together it's a 30-day devotional that covers a lot of world issues that are in need of attention and that the church can pay attention to, things like clean water, things like human trafficking, things like the education of girls, things like, just things about, you know, simple things like needing shoes, and gives you ways to physically engage with the issues right where you are. For example, I went through the Prayer and Justice Guide or the Prayer and Action Guide when it first came out, and the day that it called for an action Monday for going without shoes, it snowed here, and I had to decide, was I going to wear shoes outside or not? So it really caused me to confront some of the way that I live and the things that I do. And it was really amazing preparation for my trip to Haiti, by the way. But I'm recommending it as a devotional guide for use during Lent, which starts next Wednesday, the 9th.
It's a great idea.
And yeah. If I was talking to Phil, and if they're ordered by the 5th of March, you'll have them in time for, and he's lowered the price in preparation for the rush to Lent, to $4.50. And it's a beautiful bound color booklet. And it's this prayer and action guide that I would say you could use from middle schoolers on up.
That's a great pick. Yeah. I saw this at the convention as well. And, really, really like it. That's an excellent pick. I think it's a good resource. I think a lot of people kind of don't know where to get started. How to communicate or how to involve students in justice. And this is a really, really good first step.
I think it's a great way to expose kids to lots of different issues.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they're just not sure what's happening in the world. You know, by the very nature, teenagers can be somewhat self-centered. And so to kind of get them to look up from their own issues and problems and challenges and joys to see what's going on in the rest of the world. This is a great way to expose them to those sorts of things.
Yeah. When students see stuff, you never know where they're going to go with it. You know, we have a student who heard that Atlanta was a sex trafficking hub and got upset about it and got involved with the ministry here. And actually this weekend is putting on a big benefit concert to raise money for a group of people who are helping kids in Atlanta who have just come out of sex trafficking. So, you know, you expose students to something and you never know what awesome things you're going to do with it.
Exactly.
And my pick is, it's not on the mission side. It's actually kind of more on the programming side. And it's, the website is called Red Ferris Wheel, but actually the URL is kind of weird. I'll put it in the show notes, but it's ZACHFONVILLE. I have no idea how to say that. Zach Phoneville, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is a website where a guy has made just a bunch of looping video backgrounds, and they're all on Vimeo, but he also has download links for each of them. And if you want to download all of them, which is a pretty big download, he has torrent files up where you can get a torrent client and download all of them at once. So if you are looking for a bunch of video backgrounds for your worship services, but you have noticed like me that they become really, really expensive really fast, this is a great way to get a bunch of them. And, you know, there's just pages and pages. I guess over 155 is what the website is saying. And a lot of these are really, really nice. So you could go get them all, or you could just go pick your favorites and start using them in your worship services. So, yeah. That's ZACHFONVILLE.com. Well, guys, it was great to get back talking to you guys on the show.
Feels Thanks great for here. Having me.
Patty, we love having you on the show. We'd love to have you again many more times back.
Anytime.
Awesome. Thanks. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by visiting youthhacks.com. You can email us at, geez, I don't even remember the contact info anymore. Okay. You can email us at podcast@youthhacks.com.
It's only been 2 weeks.
Only 2 weeks. Goes by quickly. But, you know, it's 2 weeks of being a parent. And then you can leave us a voicemail by calling 530-968-8477. And, yeah, if you leave us a voicemail, we may even play it on the show. So thanks, and we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.